Good. You guys agree? Just think of think of family members. Think of people in your life. I know for a fact if it wasn't for the prayer of generations before me, I would not be here. Amen? Prayer works. Sometimes it doesn't work at my exact time frame, right? You ever go through a drive-through fast food? You ever even that? Ever say, God, what's taking so long? You ever done that? What's taking so long? And so, and still believing that God's doing great things in our lives. You know what? Let me tell you something. God's doing great things in this church. I can tell. I am telling you, He is just not just this church, but I can't speak for. I thank God for the work He's doing in many churches. Yeah. But I can only speak for the church that I attend. And I believe God is doing wonderful things in our body. It's just the beginning. I was sharing with, an individual has an interest in leading let me see if I can say this, you know, where you can understand it. I'm having trouble here. Lori Boy directs the children's church. And so she's done that for 2 years. I begged her to do it. I don't even think she wanted to do it when I pleaded with her to do it. And like a good soldier, she did it. But we have another gal we think that's going to step up and take over that. And we're so grateful for Lori Boy and what she's done. And thank you. And if you see Lori Boy, anybody here know Lori? If you see her, would you say thank you for your service to the kids' church? Thank you. But this other individual, I think that's going to take over and lead this. Me and Gina were speaking with her and her family. I just won't divulge the name yet until I know. I'm 99.5% sure. But we were just talking about a vision. And, man, we have some vision to reach out in our community for our children. And getting some vans and doing some outreaches in some of the areas where they really need that. So isn't that exciting? So here, be praying for outreach. Amen. Outreach to our community, especially for these children. Yes. For these children. Amen. And for the youth. They're going to have youth camp this year. I'm on a different subject. Sorry, guys. But you don't mind this information, do you? So the end of the June, the church camp. What's that, Eddie? 27th. June 27th? Okay. They're actually going to Heber, I think it is, this year. We couldn't find a camp in our area here. A camp, what do you call it, the church camp, one of the church camps. We just couldn't find anybody. So, or a open camp, so we're going to be going to Heber with Ben and Kara Diaz. So we go with their church, and you guys know Pastor Freddie? Remember Pastor Freddie? Wasn't that good having Pastor Freddie in the house? Hallelujah. And so, and it's going to go with his church, and so a couple of those, his church and a couple other churches. So, you know, this all through being a part of Army, Association of Related Ministries International, is how we met some of these other churches, and now we're kind of, you know, we're family with them. And so getting those four or five churches together, and then Ben always and Kara gets a special speaker that's really powerful just to speak to the youth. So be praying for this year's youth camp, summer youth camp. It's always powerful. I always like it that following Sunday when they come and line up here and tell us what the Lord has done. Isn't that awesome? Man, that's exciting. Amen and amen. So... Yes, sir. For probably the end of this month. End of this month. So, and I think a good part of that is, well, we've got a good chunk of that already raised. But we're going to make the kids work a little bit still. They need to. I wouldn't tell them if we had all the money. They need to do a little bit of fundraising but thank you for that. Thank you for that question, Frank. So I think at the end of this month, which is March, or the beginning of next month, we're going to have some kind of after a Sunday morning, have like some kind of like a spaghetti, or I don't think it's spaghetti. I think it's actually enchilada, lunch, enchilada lunch, as a fundraiser. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. It'll be good, especially if they don't put onions in it, right? We speak that right now in Jesus' name. Okay, I just want to speak a few minutes. I want to say we're in John chapter 5, and we've gone into John chapter 6. So it's interesting. John, you know, a lot of times on Sunday we'll speak on topic. It's called topical preaching. So we'll have different topics we'll talk about. They could be a series or mini series. But what I love about Wednesday night is it's just the verse by verse. I really like verse by verse. And so in John chapter 5, it's interesting. You know, Jesus is in Jerusalem. And then he's having all that conversation speaking to the Jews. And if you remember, these Jews that he's speaking to didn't like him. Matter of fact, they wanted to kill him. So I would dare say that these were Jews that hated him in chapter 5. We get into chapter 6. All of a sudden, he's no longer in Jerusalem. He's up in Galilee. So he's gone through up through Jerusalem. He's gone through Samaria, and now he's up in Galilee, which would be in Jesus' neck of the woods where he was born and raised, right? Jesus from Galilee. So I'm just going to start on verse 1 again. I'm going to read a few verses, and then we'll begin to teach. It says, after these things, this is in John chapter 6, New American Standard, said, after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So all of a sudden, he's went from Jerusalem in chapter 5, and he's up by the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd was following him because they were watching the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. But Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. You remember last time I read those verses. It's been a couple weeks since we've been able to be in the book of John. And now it says, verse 4, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, it was near. And so when you say, I want to say that when it says, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews was near, that you're going to see in verse 4, as it's written in the Passion Translation, which I love. So if you have that, okay, say, now it was approaching the time of the Jewish celebration of the Passover, and there were many pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem in the crowd. So you got to look at this as where Jesus, where he's at in Galilee, where he's got this crowd following him. Well, a lot of that was because, just look at this, as people are on their way, the pilgrims coming to for the Passover, coming to Jerusalem, and all of a sudden they see maybe a smaller crowd. They say, hey, what's going on? And people say, hey, that's Jesus over there. So they said, hey, we've heard about this Jesus guy, so let's go see what's going on. And so they're on their way to the Passover, and all of a sudden they got detoured. They got detoured to say, hey, we've been hearing about this guy. We want to see him. We've heard about his miracles. And a matter of fact, so on verse 5 it says, so Jesus, this is verse 5 of chapter 6, Jesus, after raising his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? And so I mentioned there was a large crowd of people because they were coming through Jerusalem. You know, I want to say this, that every step Jesus took on earth had purpose. There was no just happened to be at a certain place or at a certain time. So he knew he's going to be up in Galilee. He's going to be out away, kind of up in the rural area. Say, you know, he's in the rural area. You could say that he was in Ash Fork, okay? And there's people on Interstate 40, and they're headed to wherever, L.A. They're headed to Flagstaff. They're headed to wherever, east, but they're on their way. And then that would say, hey, I hear that Jesus or something's going on. Something that would say, hey, we need to pull off into Ash Fork and see what's going on. Really, that's the way it was. That's what's happening. So every step Jesus took, he knew what time. He knew that there would be people pilgrimaging. I can't even say it, on their way to Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, he's got this large crowd. Every step. I want to read something else because I just want to give you an example of Jesus's every step. Everything he did had a purpose. And then I want to talk a little bit, if I have time, about purpose for you and I in our steps, in our day-to-day. Do you ever think about purpose from day-to-day? I have to admit, in the busyness of life, sometimes I just go about my business. I mean, love God. I could be praying under my breath. I could be thinking about the things of God, or I could be just thinking about the things that I need to take care of that day. But more and more, I find myself taking steps thinking about purpose. Thinking about purpose. We're living in a day and age right now, saints, where God is awakening His people. People coming out of sorrow. People coming out of hardship. People coming out of all these things, and they're starting to awaken. And the thing, when you start awakening, the first thing that'll happen, because you have the Spirit of God inside of you, is you'll start thinking about purpose. Luke 19:1-10. Did you get that, Bill, or do I need to look that up? It's okay if I do. If you don't, no problem. So this will also be in the New American Standard. So Jesus entered Jericho and he was passing through. So I'm just going to read this. If you have your Bible, if you have your device with a Bible, Luke chapter 19. So Jesus is entered Jericho and he's just passing through, right? And verse 2, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. You've heard that name before? He was a chief tax collector. So we're talking about somebody that, by the way, we're talking about somebody in the Jewish world, right, with the Jews. Nobody likes this guy. I can tell you, he'd be like the most hate. I mean, they hate tax collectors, but this guy's a chief tax collector. So it says a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Well, you know how he was rich, right? He defrauded people. He schemed against people. When he was collecting taxes, he would say, I'm sorry, you owe a few more shekels, right? But he wasn't going to tell them that those few more that they needed to pay up was actually going to go in his pocket and his cronies' pockets. And so Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying, verse 3, was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable due to the crowd because he was short in stature. Verse 4, so he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see him because he was about to pass through that way. Just happened to be about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried down. And he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. When the people saw this, they all began to complain. It says they all began to complain. Look, they were complaining in chapter 5, and they're complaining of John. And we're going to see at the end of chapter 6 of John that they were all complaining. Jesus spent a lifetime coming against unbelief and doubt and those that are using him. Man, as we go through this book of John, let's begin to appreciate everything that Jesus went through that so you and I could be here right now, be here right now, could have his love, his mercy. So when people say, man, even Jesus, he wouldn't understand what I went through. No, he experienced it all forms of pain, physically, mentally, and emotionally. He experienced the most pain that you could imagine. Could you imagine being the Son of God coming to the earth that you created and basically everybody but a handful of people totally rejecting you, mocking you, using you, abusing you, day after day after day. But then you have this one person, here's a chief a tax collector, who gets in this tree so he could see Jesus, and Jesus just happens to walk by him. Jesus happens to look up and says, hey, today I'm going to dine with you. And so in verse 8, but Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possession, let me go up, I'm sorry, verse 6. And he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. When the people saw this, they all began to complain, saying, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. A wretched sinner we hate. But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, it's interesting. They all began to complain, saying, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner, but Zacchaeus stopped. So I wonder there when Zacchaeus stopped if he was hearing all of this against him. Jesus, what are you doing coming to a tax collector's house? What are you doing coming into the house of those who we hate? One of those who really isn't ours. One of those that of all the people in Jerusalem or in Israel, this guy here should be the one that should not be saved. But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, I think he heard all the murmuring and complaining. Could you imagine? Because there's a crowd. All the people there, Jesus, that you could go see, you're going to go spend time with this guy? But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I am giving to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'm giving back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. Did you hear that? Jesus seeing him as a son of Abraham in the middle of what he was doing. And it's interesting because another group of people that Jesus is talking to, he says, you're of your father the devil. Remember that? Those ones who disbelieved, who were just counting on their self-righteousness, Jesus saying, hey, you do what your father the devil says. Isn't that interesting? And then he takes this guy here who has been living this contrary life to righteousness and religion, very wicked, would be considered somebody who couldn't even probably go into the temple because of his wickedness. But yet Jesus, even before he saw him, knew that he was a son of Abraham. You know, I contrast him. He's a rich guy. And remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, hey, I've done all these commandments, Lord. He says, what do I lack? He says, go sell everything and come follow me. And he couldn't do it, right? He was not willing to do it. Here's a guy here, because of the love of God, the realization, I think, of who Jesus Christ is, from his heart said, man, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. Everything, I may not know a lot about temple worship, he may be thinking. I may not know a lot about righteousness, but I know when you looked up at me and you said, I must eat with you, that everything that held him down, everything that held him in sin broke off his life right then and there. Something about when Jesus looks at you, when he realizes he looks at you and forgives you of all your past, regardless what anybody thinks or says, something just breaks off of you and your heart pours out and says, Lord, I belong to you. So we have the rich young ruler who said, man, I've done this. I followed all of these laws, Lord. What else do I lack? And Jesus said, sell all you have and come follow me. Zacchaeus didn't have to be asked by anything. He didn't have to have Jesus ask him anything. He says, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. I can't believe that you would show your kindness and your mercy and your goodness to me. Are you glad he's done that for you? I don't know about you, but I feel like I was a Zacchaeus, rebelling against God, doing my own thing, going my own path. And when I realized how much he loved me, when I was in my own tree, and he looked at me and says, hey, I'm going to have dinner with you today. What that was is going back to Revelation, where he says, look, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens up, I'll come in and sup. Me and my Father will come in and sup with them. That was his Revelation chapter 2 moment right there, when Jesus says, I'm coming to eat with you today. Isn't that amazing? And all of that because of Jesus taking these steps, happening to go by that path, under that tree, to have that encounter with Zacchaeus. And man, isn't that good? Thank you, Lord. Let me just tell you, the Lord directs our steps too. Can I speak a few minutes about you and I? Psalms 37, 23 and 24. Psalm 37, 23 and 24 says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. How many godly do we have here? Everybody here that knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior should be raising their hand and saying, I am. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every delights in every detail of their lives. You know, this big God that made the universe, the vast universe, and made this earth and this planet and this solar system, and well beyond all this, the solar system, and this little planet called Earth, and all these little people, it even says that they're like grasshoppers in the sight of God. But yet, even in that, Him, by His Holy Spirit, coming down and being on our plane level and living in you and I, being with us during our time of worship together, that big of a God, yet you and I are, the most important thing He's ever made in this universe. How do I know? Because He gave His only begotten Son. For God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, this little blue ball called the earth and the Son of God, amen, the creator of heaven and earth, coming down into a body, into the body right here, living a perfect life and willing to go under a tree and look at somebody like Zacchaeus. And he was a wee little man. So that God, that big, that most powerful creator, who came to earth as a man, was willing to walk underneath that tree just for Zacchaeus. How precious, and the chief tax collector on top of it. How precious are you and I in His sight? The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, anybody here ever stumble? It says they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by His hand. Do you believe that? Do you believe He cares for every detail in your life? I love that Proverbs 16:19 as well. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Amen. Amen and amen. You know, what I realize is in my day saying, Lord, thank You, as I realize this love that You shed abroad in my heart. I saw a young man that I was going to the bank, and he was at work, so I didn't have much time. So I just said hi to him. I happened to pull in at the right time, going to the bank at the perfect time, and he's crossing me. He's on a short break, and I couldn't really talk to him. And what I realized is when I saw him and said hi, and he went on, I just began to pray for him. So I just said his name. And I began to pray for him right then and there. And then I had another situation where I just happened to run into somebody that I hadn't seen in a while. This was like within a day of that. Chatted with him for a minute. And I thought, man, I had to be at the perfect place at the perfect time. In that aisle of the grocery store, I happened to see them. It's actually in Prescott, so someplace, you know, it's not in Chino. So the odds are even less than even being here locally. And when I saw them and greeted them and then I left, I began to pray for them. See, the steps of a righteous man or woman of God are ordered of God. And I'm telling you, I'm starting to realize, saying, Lord, give me divine moments to speak to people. Even if I'm not preaching to them, you know, or if that's not going on, man, I know the power of prayer. I know that, Lord, that's not a coincidence that I happen to see that person. What are the odds of that? So I began to pray for them. And so, saints, knowing that God met us where we are, let's look for opportunities to bless other people. Let's start to look into the trees. Hey, Zacchaeus. Let's be at the grocery store, wherever we're at, or we might even pass somebody that we see in a vehicle. Let's take time to pray for them. Man, that's that incense that we were talking about. Let's lift up the prayer for Lord Jesus. I just lift up this gentleman. I thank you for blessing. I remember I just started saying this young man's name. And I knew, and I said, Lord, I know he's fallen away from you, but I know that he knows you. And I know that you love him. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless him. I pray that every lie of the enemy that's trying to come against him, attack him, I pray you to break it off his life right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would just send your ministering spirits. I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to him and that he would bring him back into the comfort and love of fellowship with his Father. And I know that prayer has an impact. So as time goes, as we day by day, you know, you and I, let's begin to look for these steps ordered by God. You know, it's not by chance when you see people. It's not by chance. People that come into your mind, begin to pray them. I'm telling you, if it says that the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much, man, then if it availeth much, then prayer is going to be a key to this revival move of God. I said prayer is going to be key to revival move of God. I have this devotional. You guys ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth?
Sure.
You know, and I hear about moves of God, you know, generations before that. But, you know, reading this devotional, he'll give stories I have never heard. And so he said, I spent this season in prayer. And I said, I went in to get on the train. And this guy out of nowhere next to me says, you're convicting me of my sins. He said, I ain't said nothing to you. I haven't opened my mouth, boy. And then he just went and sat down. And the next thing you know, the whole, what do you call one train? One box, I guess, one car. He says, everybody's repenting. He's leading everybody to the Lord. And his purpose, he says, you know what? We don't know the power of prayer, he was saying. See, Smith Wigglesworth is no different than Elijah. He was a man that was just a plumber. Couldn't read until he was an adult. His wife had to teach him how to read. But what he did is he said, I believed in God and I believed in the power of prayer. I'm telling you, saints, we're coming into a season of the powerful time of prayer where our prayers availeth much, where our steps are ordered by God. That even if you come across somebody and say, well, all I got to do is pray for him, that prayer is going to have an effect. I don't understand why God is moved by prayer. I don't quite understand, but something about our authority as believers and us releasing our prayer moves the hand of God. Just like you and I, I said before that how many of you are here because of somebody praying for you? Seriously, I bet most hands would go up. Something about prayer changes everything. Prayers of a mama, prayers of a grandmother, prayers of nephews and nieces or whatever. But it's something about that prayer, man, I'm telling you, it protects people. When we see people that God brings in our path, we don't realize that maybe that prayer is going to protect them from a trap of the enemy. We don't know that, right? Amen? But God does. Can you stand up with me this evening? Amen. Do you believe that your steps are ordered by God? Amen. Do you believe that God is calling us into a time of where our prayers are going to availeth much? I believe that with all my heart. I believe there's coming a time where we're just going to feel this desire and this urge to spend time in prayer. It's going to be something coming from the Spirit of God. It's going to be something God has said, man, incense is going to be going up all around this world, everywhere. Everywhere, incense into the kingdom of God. You know what? And the enemies cannot do anything about it. Amen. He cannot do anything about it. So, Father, we thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for divine appointments. Lord, I pray that even in the days coming, as you bring people into our path, Lord, whether it's to encourage them or to witness to them or simply to pray a heartfelt, genuine prayer, we thank you, Father, for the effects of that right now. And Lord, we just practice that right now. Maybe you have a niece, a nephew, a daughter, a son, grandparents. There might be somebody in your mind you know that needs a touch of God. Can we just take a second and begin to pray for them? them in Jesus' name. And Lord, so I pray, Lord, we pray for that individual right now in our hearts, Father God. Lord, I pray, Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you, Father, for touching that individual. Thank you for blessing them. Lord, thank you for protecting them from every plan of the enemy. Lord, I thank you for doing the impossible in their life. Lord, we thank you for doing what we cannot do in the natural, but all things are possible with the supernatural through the Spirit of God. We declare that over that individual that we're praying for right now. That individual you're putting in our mind, Lord, it may be somebody that we just began to pray with, or maybe even started tonight. It could be a child, Lord, but we continue to say thank you, Father God, for preserving that individual through my prayers. And so we declare that and speak that tonight. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. We thank you for the power of prayer, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for stirring our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, to begin to lift up incense, Father God, that goes straight into your throne room. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for answering our prayers, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for stirring our hearts in this area of prayer. How we love you, how we worship you, how we honor you. Lord, what a privilege it is to be together, brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, realizing you're the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me, Jesus said. Lord, we thank you that John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Lord, we just declare and speak over our lives abundance in every area of our life. In our soul realm, in our health, over our children, over our families, over our husbands, over our wives, over nephews, nieces, those that are dear to us. Thank you for blessing our finances. Thank you for meeting all our needs. So we just praise you and exalt you, and we believe that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Do you love him tonight? Hallelujah.